Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thinking about it, can you name even one person who is completely content with their life as it is right now? That's a difficult thing to do. At best, possibly it's you or you know one or two. Do you know anyone who has already obtained everything that he or she wants out of this life? And I guess the next question is, have you? Is there anybody who can just lean back, breathe a sigh of relief, relax, and rejoice in the fact that they have everything that they could possibly want or need? Few have experienced such contentment. It's rare, but it's there. Most of us have, however, been indoctrinated by our consumer culture into believing that we can never be happy without obtaining the new, latest, and greatest thing that's out there on the market. And so you and I will spare no expense in the pursuit of happiness. In fact, we are taught to value happiness above everything else in life. And yet, no matter how avidly we live our lives in the pursuit of happiness, happiness seems like it always eludes us. For we live in a world that's convinced us that we will never be content without the constant acquisition of stuff. Now, instinctively, you would think that investing all of your time and all of your energy on yourself and turning your attention onto pleasing yourself would make you more content, but in fact, it makes you even less content. For the way to find contentment is actually counterintuitive. That is, it's backwards from the way that we would think it was. For you and I are truly the happiest when we are not living for ourselves, but for those higher, those holier, those nobler purposes for which God created us and redeemed us. And life's truest purpose is to love God with all your heart, which in turn leads to loving your neighbor as yourself. If your neighbor meets with success and finds some joy and contentment out of this, then you and I should be thankful for his good fortune, and we should say, God be praised. That is, we should be pleased when God bestows his blessings on our neighbor. But the sad truth is, often when this happens, we end up discontent when we want what others around us have. And our envious response to our neighbor's good fortune is more likely to be, nice, he's getting all the breaks. Such comparisons are harmful, for they lead to coveting, and coveting leads to so much of our present discontent. Our dissatisfaction in life comes from chasing after things that we cannot have. And so there is a good reason when the Bible tells us godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. And those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, and into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. My friends, God did not redeem you so that you could brood about how bad your life is and be discontent with it. If you are discontent, consider this. What if somebody from afar admired your life and saw you as someone who had it all. And one day they tell you this, that from their perspective, you have everything. Think a moment how you would respond. You'd probably laugh. And then you would attempt to dispel your admirer of such a preposterous notion that you already have everything you need to be content. In other words, you would undoubtedly set out to prove that person wrong. You would do this by pointing out all of the many disappointments in your life, and then you would talk to them about everything that keeps you from being truly content. So here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that you and I are much better at talking ourselves out of contentment than we are about acknowledging that God has given us every reason to be content. Of course, you will never find contentment so long as you think that you can find it on your own and without God. Contentment isn't getting in there and mixing it up, grabbing for what is yours, getting your hands on it before others do, and then playing keep away from those who want it from you. If contentment is all about making certain that you get what you want, even if it means taking from others, then why would we bother to ever thank God for anything? And yet Paul says that as Christians we should be abounding in thanksgiving as we pray to the God who gives us everything, including contentment. The Bible says God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Or to put it another way, God gives us everything good, and He gives it freely as a gift. God's Spirit inspired Paul's letter to the Colossians so that the words that he wrote to them are also God's words to us. And in Colossians, the overwhelming emphasis is that Christ Jesus is God, and as God, Christ Jesus owns it all. Everything that you can see, and even those things that you can't see, belong to Him. We read earlier in Paul's letter to the Colossians that He, Christ, is before all things, that everything is made by Him and for Him, and everything holds together in Him. No one in heaven or on earth even comes close to matching His strength and power. No one is deserving of any higher praise than He is for what He did by the blood of His cross. Yes, the cross. It was a long time ago. However, now, in your baptism, Christ brings the cross forward in time so that in your baptism you actually participate in His saving death on the cross and in His glorious resurrection. All of this happens in baptism so that now in Christ all things are yours. Everything is yours in Him. For every gift worth having, every gift that Jesus Christ won by His life laid down and His life restored, comes gift wrapped to you in holy baptism. For as God declares to us in His Word, that all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is to say, Christ. If we already have everything in Him, then why do we need to pray? Remember, the disciples asked Jesus how to teach them to pray. God wants us to pray to Him in the confidence that He hears and answers our prayers. Far too much of what we pray about, however, is based only on one petition of the Lord's Prayer: give us this day our daily bread. Most of our prayers are daily bread prayers. We pray, Lord, give me this. Lord, grant me that. But didn't Jesus say, man shall not live by bread alone? The real focus of the Lord's Prayer can be found in this petition: Thy kingdom come. For the rest of the Lord's Prayer is devoted to this topic, to matters that pertain to the kingdom of God. Christ is that King, and his kingdom comes to us in baptism. So that if we have received Christ Jesus our Lord through faith, and if we belong to that kingdom of his through baptism, really, in the end, what else do we need? For we have the promise of all of his blessings through believing in him and being baptized into him. Again, earlier in Colossians, we read these words which describe what happens in baptism. Here's how they read: giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he has delivered you from the kingdom of darkness, and he has transferred you into the kingdom of his beloved Son. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God's word for today in Colossians says this of Jesus: for in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. Now, this is not saying that God is in Jesus like God might be found in any believer's heart. But what this is proclaiming is that God is Christ Jesus, and that Christ Jesus is God in earthly form and in human flesh. And now in baptism, you no more lead empty lives because you have been filled in him who is the head and the rule over all, who has all authority. The fact that we are filled with Christ speaks to the contrast of those who have been taken captive by the empty lies of our culture, especially that lie that teaches us that the goal of life and the way to gain contentment is to obtain everything we can for ourselves and then enjoy it before we die. For the goal of the Christian life is very different, because we see already how we have everything in him, including peace with God and the promise of a better and eternal life when this short life is over. So if you're still unconvinced that you don't have everything, think of it again. For if you are in Christ, and if Christ is in you, then you have everything, because he owns everything. If you are in Christ, you are not settling for second best. For of Jesus it says, in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, so that through him he might reconcile all things to himself, making peace by the blood of his cross. He is the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might be preeminent. That is, he is ranked first for all time. He is the highest and he is the best, and there will never be anything quite like him. Christ Jesus is infinitely superior to all and inferior to none. In fact, in Colossians we are told that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So my friends in Christ, I want you to know that in him you have everything. And all of those things that you once chased after and were frustrated because you couldn't catch up to, Christ has already obtained them for you. You have gained so very much through his crucifixion pain. For the life that he offered on the cross has forever canceled the record of debt that once stood against you and was more than ready to condemn you. By the cross, he has caused even the most unforgivable sins in your life that you have committed, and he has completely forgiven them, and they are forever forgotten by God. And by his resurrection, our victorious Lord disarmed demonic powers. They whose goal had been to put you to shame were the ones that were put to shame. So you are that person who can just lean back, rest, reflect, relax, and be content, because you are exactly the person God called you to be. For Christ has done everything for you, just as he promises to give everything to you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.